Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. And Phil's got a great pet story. What happened?
Friday night, we had some friends over. They left late. So like 1 o'clock in the morning, Amanda and I are just getting ready to go to bed. We like have our hand on the light, like about to turn the light off. And all of a sudden we hear this sound. And we look over and the cat is dragging his ass across our hardwood floor in the bedroom. So I'm like, that can't be good. So Amanda has prosthetic legs. She's taking it off. She can't get up. I pick up the cat. There's poop dangling from his butt because he swallowed human hair.
Oh,
so it's like wrapped up in this like spider web.
Like a wind chime.
Rubbing his butt on all of the door frames and he's wiping it on the
hardwood
floor.
Your girl can't help because she only has one leg on.
Right.
Yeah, so her version of helping is sitting up in the bed just going, no, muffin. Muffin, no.
Stop
it, muffin. Right.
Was
no the, muffin.
Was the cat making like those sounds like a gym floor with sneakers?
No, it's like the sound that you make when you do. That's it. No muffin. All right, hold on. Recreation from Phil's house. No muffin. No. No muffin.
Oh, God damn it. Like, that's pretty much exactly how it
And there's Phil.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a hair and a poop dangling.
Yeah, he ate human hair, couldn't get out, so
like
the poop got stuck in the hair.
Right.
So I have to try to like get in there with toilet paper and pull it out. And you know, I don't know if you know anything about cats, but they're not real like welcome to like you like touching their body.
They're, yeah, no. They're not very, very
especially
cooperative.
Their butt.
Yeah.
So I gotta like,
hey, what are you doing down there?
And this hair, if it's jammed up in there, good.
Can be long.
Like you can't pull it out.
No,
right. You pull other things.
You gotta be very gentle.
If you pull as a cat talk.
It's like the string
on a doll
from the CNC.
Very, very long story short, I had to pick up the cat. I have to tiptoe around the streak that he's left on our hardwood floor in my bare feet. So I get into the bathroom and I think I'll put him in the sink. So that way, like if anything happens, like I can just wash it out.
Right.
And like he will not relax. So I need Amanda's help, but she can't come in. So I have to tiptoe back
she
around.
She could hop in.
I have to tiptoe around his poop mosaic, and I have to take him over to the bed where she is.
Playing tic-tac-toe.
She, like,
there.
Wraps him up in the blanket like a burrito. So all we hear from under the blanket is,
Hey, you wrap anybody in a blanket, you mess with their butthole, and you're going to hear that.
And then I'm trying to pull the poop hair out of his butt. And then finally I get it, but now I have to clean the whole floor. So like it was like this whole thing, and like then I was mad. Then I couldn't like get to sleep for like an hour.
I would
stupid cat.
Loved.
He kept jumping up on the bed. I'm like, oh no, not tonight.
Get out of here, poop. What?
I would have loved to watch this whole thing happen.
Yeah, apparently Muffin had a cruller.
It's a gross little cat colon.
But the hair came out okay.
Everything came out. He's fine.
Everything
now.
Came out.
Totally fine.
Like, little exclamation
and
point.
And he is Bronx, right?
His name is Bronx. Amanda's former roommate used to just call him Love Muffin, and then that just turned into Muffin,
Love
and
Muffin?
Then sometimes it's just Muff.
Right.
And
Muff.
And Bronx.
Now it's Dangle.
It's Muff. almost never Bronx.
Right. Now it's Dangle.
Muffin.
Sometimes it's God
no,
damn it,
Muffin.
Muffin. Stop it. Muffin.
Muffin.
Muffin. Muffin.
Muffin. No.
Muffin. No, Muffin. Muffin. No. Muffin. No, Muffin.
Who's been kissing the floor in brown lipstick?
At least the cat was trying to get it out of
it
its ass
fun,
on
yeah.
its own.
Exactly, right. Yeah. I don't want to disturb you guys.
Right.
We're okay.
It'd be worse if you dragged it up onto the bed and
right?
dragged it across your face
exactly.
and like, hey, take care of this.
Yeah.
All right, call in your pet story. 1-877-764-2535. Everybody on gets in the running for Cheap Trick tickets. And who is this? What do we got
who
here?
Who is this?
Did we lose the cow story?
There was a cow story?
Who
damn it.
The cow is a pet.
There was a cow in a basement.
Wow.
I hope they call back. Sarah from Haddam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah from Haddam.
So when I was little, my parents decided it would be a good idea to go up to Vermont and get a cow. And this was before cell phones. I had a babysitter, and my mom calls in, and she's like, oh, you know, is Sarah doing okay? She's like, oh, everything's fine, but I keep hearing these really weird noises from the basement. And my mom says, oh, that's just our cow.
In the basement.
Cow in the basement.
No big deal.
It's just calving.
No big deal. That's just our cow.
Right. Don't have a cow, man.
Why would it be in a basement? Yeah. How about a barn?
Well, attic would be
so
bad.
They had gotten it to raise it for veal. And they had this tiny little spot. And my mom kept it real clean. And I used to have pictures sleeping with the cow and everything else. But so come to find out, years later, I'm at the dinner table. And now I'm in my, like, 20s with my soon-to-be husband. And my father thinks it's funny to start talking about the cow. And I thought it just went back up to the farm in Vermont. No, it went to the farm, but it went to the farm and we ate the cow.
Oh, right. We ate our cow.
So, this is so you ate your pet cow and didn't know it.
Right. This is more straight. You're sitting with your meal.
But, yes, my horrible parents fed me the cow anyway. Yep. Poor little Mako on the plate.
Poor little Mako. Uh-oh.
Right.
Better eat Mako.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Did they at least make it veal parmesan?
I mean, I hope so. I don't know. I guess I was little and I had no idea I was eating my pet cow.
No idea. Yeah, it's not really a pet. Actually, you slept with dinner.
Wow, there's a lot.
I slept with dinner. Oh, my God.
That's an incredible story.
I mean, I guess you've done worse for dinner, right?
Would you walk in your house and smell cow poop?
No, my mom kept that so clean. She had it, like, lined with plastic and shavings.
Okay. Right.
She
was on top of it.
Just not the meatballs.
Wow. That is great. Huh. All right,
but I feel bad for the babysitter. Imagine that babysitter, like, freaking out, hearing noises, not knowing what it is. Hey. Called her mom over.
Yeah, it's just our pet cow.
That's grandma. She has hemorrhoids.
Okay. Yeah. Any other pets I should know about?
Like an alligator in the tub?
Yeah, right.
No, we don't need alligator.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right, you're in the runner for the tickets. Thank you for calling back, Sarah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
But the cat's real nervous right now.
Jill in New Haven.
Hi. Hold the turn.
What's going on?
Oh.
Ice pursuit.
Sorry. I just got in my car. Is this okay?
Perfect. So far.
Okay. So growing up, I had a brother who was allergic to cats and dogs. So my parents said, well, you could get a rabbit. So I did. And about 4 years later, she lived outside in a crate, and she was attacked by a raccoon. And my dad heard her, ran outside, got her, brought her inside. They woke me up the next morning. Her whole head was, like, torn apart, and we took her to the vet. I know. We took her to the vet, and she had brain surgery and an eye removed, and she lived for 2 more years.
Wow. Yeah!
Get out!
One eye
Good
rabbit.
Job.
Yep. Got the eye on the rabbit.
Yeah.
How much did that cost?
Oh, I have no clue. I was, like 8, 9, 10 years old.
Right.
I don't know. But the other thing I loved about her was I got to take her to camp one summer, and so I was like the big hit of camp because everyone wanted
Is
to
this
come
the
in.
One-eyed rabbit or before the attack?
Yeah.
The one-eyed rabbit.
Exactly. One-eyed rabbit, yeah.
Did you make it like a little pirate eye patch?
Right.
No, I never
Einstein?
Did.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much of its head was missing?
Probably like a quarter. Heads are—they're so tiny to begin with.
Right.
But yeah, she whatever the raccoon did, it didn't damage her movement.
One ear was bent, though. Got better reception of TV. So
no,
that rabbit's foot didn't give it any good luck.
Yeah, really.
Oh, I'm thinking that rabbit thought just put me out of my misery.
Yeah, really. Oh, what brain surgery, really?
Oh, yeah.
One eye now, really?
So I can live in this cage.
Yeah, and get attacked again.
She
Thank
brought
you.
It to camp.
Well, she was actually a really good house pet because we'd bring her inside all the time, and she'd always hop to the couch and, jump up on the couch. So she kind of knew, like, our living room and
turn TV
she
on.
She came inside all the time.
Right.
Yep.
Rabbit poop looks like Cocoa Puffs.
It does. It does.
Darby loves it.
I mean, exactly like it. You could put it in a box and no one
would
know.
Right. No one would know.
Trust me.
It's a little darker, but fine.
Right.
Yeah.
A little different taste, too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Great story. What was the name of the rabbit?
Hey. Fufu.
Foo-foo.
Little rabbit was named Fluffy.
Little rabbit Foo-foo. Hopping through the forest.
I'm glad little Foo-foo survived
Good
the
job.
Raccoon attack.
Thank you.
All right, you're in the running for the tickets, Jill. Kim in... Wait, what does this say? Kim's Ashley's mom from Derby pet story about her dog.
Huh?
What does this all mean?
You know who I am.
Talk.
Hey.
Hey.
Jazz, it's Kim. It's Kim, Ashley's mom.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
That Kim?
All right, gotcha.
Hi,
not,
Kim.
Not our Ashley.
No, no. So don't look so confused now, Ashley.
Right.
No, my Ashley.
I knew you before you had Ashley, so why would you be now Ashley's mom?
Kim. Yeah.
I know. How else would I describe myself, though?
Just Kim from wherever?
Christmas right. sister?
Yeah, okay.
So okay, well, next time we'll use that. Here's my funny pet story.
All right.
I had friends that owned a art store, framing store in Southbury. And in the winter, on quiet mornings that the store was quiet, I would take our dog up, and their dog and my dog would run around the store like crazy. Well, I went into the ladies' room, and Karen got a phone call. And next thing you know, we heard, what, some poor woman's voice going crazy. I come whipping around the corner, and there's a nun from Southbury, and my dog is underneath her habit.
Oh. Oh. Apparently the nun got some.
Oh, boy. This is right from a sitcom.
Yep, the hound from hell.
It was something to see, and I've never forgotten it. And you know the nuns I'm speaking of.
Yeah, I have lots of comments, but I like my job.
Exactly, yes. Okay. Leave it at that. Act of God.
All right, you are in the running for the tickets.
Thank you. You All have right. a good day.
You too. Holy crap.
Literally.
Yeah, what do you do with that? Like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. A couple of Hail Marys.
Let's take Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
Keep the radio on.
Kevin and Hello? Peggy have a
yes.
dog story.
Want to tell it to us?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. It's Kevin.
Yeah.
We had a 10-year-old dog who one day, I Friday, I come home, I give my wife $800 cash on my paycheck. She puts it in her robe, and that morning, our dog took the $800 and ate it.
Oh.
So she's got me out in the backyard picking through the dog poop, bringing it in the house and putting it in the calendar, the strainer to wash the bills off.
Right. Money laundering. Yes.
And 2 weeks later, he did the very same thing.
Nina
we were able eat. The first time we were able to get a couple dollar bill, a couple hundred dollar bills and brought it back to the bank. The other ones we couldn't.
Right.
So
I heard if you have both serial numbers, you can get the money restored or whatever.
Dog from ATM
exactly.
or what?
That's what my wife said.
Right.
So that's what she did. But it cost us about $1,600 that month just for the dog.
Oh, boy.
Right. And had the money right there.
That wouldn't go well.
Just say to the doctor, house. Whatever you take out of the doctor, the dog's stomach is yours.
Wait, what's that?
Whatever's taken out of the dog's stomach is yours, basically. That's your payment right there.
What's going on with your mouth over there?
Everything's great.
Okay.
Yeah, you're making fun of me.
All right, thank you. I liked your ATM joke.
Yeah, nobody heard it, though.
Yeah.
The try for two.
Go ahead, do it again.
Name a dog ATM. Boom. See?
The dog was your personal ATM.
Exactly, yes.
Right. The 2020 Academy Award nominees were announced late yesterday. We covered some of it towards the end of the program. But here they are, if you haven't seen it yet. Best Picture, Ford versus Ferrari. The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite.
Mm.
So last night, because I haven't seen it, and everybody was saying it was a great movie, Jennifer and I watched Marriage Story.
Oh. And?
I am shocked. I can't believe it.
Oh.
She picked it.
You okay. were saying, never. I'll never watch it.
Right. Unless she picks it.
All right. So, hon, what'd you think?
I thought it was completely boring. It was so, I can't believe you and I stuck it out for the entire movie, hon. It was just, think of it, it's just monotone from beginning to end. Like, I think we just kept waiting for it to kind of take off and pick up speed. Just boring.
So it was a marriage story.
The first 10 minutes were intriguing, right?
Okay.
So they both, so it starts with she is listing the reasons why she loves him.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes through a list of reasons why he loves her.
Okay.
And while this is happening, I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is going to be one of those really long, oh, I just end it now.
Right.
And I can see Jennifer's looking at the screen like, oh, romance. I love it.
You can see the little hearts in the air and stuff like that, right?
She's looking at that little smile in her eyes. Or, oh, this is what I've always dreamed of. A man in touch with his feelings.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be a long ride for me.
Right.
And then the next scene is they're in a therapist's office.
Oh.
These lists were they were asked, it was an assignment.
Oh.
Right?
Look at that. See, there's a twist.
This is, then I thought it was a therapist. Then it turns out to be a mediator. They're getting divorced.
Oh, hey, look at this. Bright spot.
I'm like, I'm in.
Yay. Hey, it's romantic comedy.
I'm in. This is great.
All right, life.
I love it.
For real.
Right, no, because they tricked me. I'm like, I like that. Right. I like thinking it's going to be one thing, and then I'm like, oh, right. We got a storyteller here.
Now we need a car chase.
Okay. And then that was it. After that, you could stop it right there.
Oh.
Because the rest, like Jennifer said, is just this monotone downer.
Oh.
What was that movie, Phil, By the Sea, something by the sea?
Manchester?
Yes. It's that movie. It's that feeling that you just feel that way through.
Just dread and depression.
Just dread and depression?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, look at it.
Like, why? Yeah. I you know. And then there's this one scene. They're in, was it a hotel room or his apartment?
It was his apartment, yeah.
Where this is the moment you've been waiting for, where they're finally communicating with each other.
Right.
About their true feelings.
Not just yelling, yes.
Everything that they listed that they love about each other, they now hate about each other.
Oh, see that? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where you grind your teeth at night. Yeah.
And this is, it's a fierce argument. I mean, this is after... You know, we got lawyers, she moves to L.A., he's fighting for custody, and they were going to do the mediator, and now it's high-powered attorney. This is after all this, right?
Right.
So finally, now they're in a room together, no one else, no lawyers, and they're having this conversation, and it's very heated, and they're screaming at each other, and he punches the wall, and it's very not like him.
Poor wall.
That was in the trailer, even. He punches the wall in the trailer.
Oh, that was the action shot. That's why.
Yeah,
it was
the entire movie.
The action shot. That's it.
Yeah. From what you explained so far, monotone, said it.
And I look at Jennifer during the scene, I'm like, you still want to get married?
That was her response. Where's
the
wall
to
punch?
During the movie where Chaz actually had his attention really maintained is Laura Dern. You don't usually see her in a sexy role. She's the sexy, high-powered attorney in this movie. And she, in every scene, she had, like, you know, like her boobs are like, you know, really perky and out there. And he's like, oh. And then she always had, like, really high pumps on. Oh,
I didn't make
her staring at her booty.
I didn't make a cat sound. I did not make this sound. No, what I said was, is she not nailing the L.A. divorce attorney role here?
She did. Yeah.
And that's not what you said. You said, she looks like she'll bang anything.
No, that too.
And said in a monotone voice.
But then, you know, so now you're so invested with the time. You're like, I'm not going now because they owe me.
Right, yeah.
And if there's something at the end here, I want it.
It's got to get better. Like a football
you
game.
You owe me.
Like a football game. It's got to get better.
Was there something at the end?
No.
No.
No payoff.
No.
2 hours.
None.
2 hours and 16 minutes.
Complete dread.
Right.
Dread the whole way through. No happy ending, which is fine. You know, I don't need the Hollywood happy ending, but, like, give me something.
Throw me a freaking bone here, okay?
Right. 2 hours or whatever of my life gone.
Wow.
Yep.
And
how is it nominated?
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker.
What's it supposed to be? It's not a love story.
Right.
Okay? Well, is it a drama? Where's the drama? All right, people get divorced. It happens. This
I
is
think
not
it's a
some...
marriage story.
Apparently, it's a reality
show. In Laura Dern's acceptance speech.
That's true. They did tell me.
It's a reality show.
In the title.
Right.
In Laura Dern's acceptance speech, she said she gave the voice to the divorce attorney. That's what she was proud of. So, good.
Yeah. Okay.
Ray Liotta was great. Ray Liotta was one of the other high-powered
attorneys. He was great. It was great
fantastic.
To see him.
Did he narrate like in Goodfellas?
He should have. It would have been more interesting.
There she was walking in.
Yeah. But, you know, they had some scenes that were supposed to invoke emotion.
Uh-huh.
And here's the gauge right here. This one on the phone,
uh-huh.
She's a crier.
Right.
Okay? She'll cry during a cartoon.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay? Not one tear.
Wow.
Right? So... Mm-hmm. They were not able to find that button in a crier.
Isn't boredom an emotion?
Right. It was just dread.
Right.
It was the feeling of dread the whole way through. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about, what's it called? Marriage Story.
Marriage Story, yeah.
Dread.
Dread.
So Manchester by the Sea, and there was another movie I saw that was like that, that was just dread all the way through. I forgot.
A couple years ago, a lot of those movies, all the Oscar-nominated movies.
Oh, Lady Bird, is that it?
That wasn't nominated, but that
was the Lady Bird was a couple years ago.
I think it was
nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Was it nominated?
No, it was nominated.
It was.
Oh, yeah. And if you go anywhere, it's listed as a comedy. I'm like, where's the humor in that one? But it was just that dread all the way through.
Uh-huh.
Dread, downer.
Ugh.
Boring.
What the hell?
Boring. Oh, thank you.
I think at one point I was like... I think I told Jennifer, if I want to feel like this, I'll just argue with you. Why not just do a real one?
Exactly, right.
You know, right. Talk about stuff we want to talk about.
Exactly. I'll make a list.
Yeah, I highly do not recommend that movie.
Please don't.
Yeah. Right. Save yourselves.
All right. Thank you, hon.
Okay. Love you,
babe. All right. Love you. Bye.
Lady Bird was nominated for 5 Oscars, didn't win any.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Including Best Picture.
But it's listed as a comedy, and I watched
That's
it
the funny
because
part.
It was nominated.
Right.
And I, where's the funny?
That was the funny part. You rented it.
And if you go to iTunes Movies or what, <that's, laughs> that was the funny part.
They were laughing, not
You're
you.
Right. You're right. I didn't realize the actual joke
yep.
is on me.
Exactly. See? Someone laughed.
Oh, yeah. That was dread. So I don't know which one I'm going to watch next.
How about Ford versus Ferrari?
So I think that's going to be it. Or Parasite.
Yeah. That's high on my
list. You need
list.
Something with more life to it after that.
Jojo Rabbit's high on my list, too.
So now I've watched...
It's a hand puppet.
I've watched 3 of the 9 movies nominated for Best Picture.
I'm Jojo Rabbit.
AJ, you have to watch one of these.
Ford versus Ferrari sounds good. Also, I'll watch The Irishman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
that's
luck with that.
Like a whole day.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
I don't know.
It didn't feel like it to
I'll pick
me.
Sunday.
That's
really?
Why, I got to be honest, that's why I haven't
it
watched it yet.
It didn't feel long.
It was
I love
so
De Niro, I love Pesci,
slow.
I love Pacino, so it won't be long
that's
for me.
That's the thing. I was so into it.
Mm.
But it's you've seen that story before. I mean, I know it's called The Irishman, but it's every Italian mob movie. You
I want it just for that.
You're in the mob.
Damn it!
No, it's you've seen it before. You're in the mob, you get sent for, you got to go, you get whacked.
Mm.
Like, over and over again.
Yeah, and?
Yeah, I know.
But it's good stuff.
Yeah. When De Niro and Pacino are sharing a scene.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm not thinking, oh, this is Jimmy Hoffa talking to his right-hand man.
And Al Pacino. Damn it.
Damn it.
Damn it. Damn it.
It's Al Pacino.
Damn it.
Talking. With Robert De Niro.
Damn it.
Shouting all my lyrics.
Damn it.
Shouting everything I say.
All my dialogue.
Yeah, it didn't feel like 3 hours to me.
Who am I talking to over here?
We watched it on a Friday or a Saturday night, so I was sipping on a beer, and so it didn't feel like I was, you know.
Right.
I wasn't like, oh, my God, I got to get to bed.
That's
more
what was missing, the booze.
Ashley.
Damn it.
Wait.
She forgot the booze.
Last week, they made several arrests in the missing mom case, and in the warrant for the arrest, they noted a lot of DNA evidence, and an expert on that subject, Dr. Henry Lee, on the phone right now. How damning was all that evidence, you think?
Good morning, Chad. How are you doing?
Good morning, doctor.
Morning. Yeah. Anyway, DNA evidence is one type of evidence can link somebody or exclude somebody to the case. Also, DNA can use identify that among the blood found, in fact, was the victim. So it's crucial piece of evidence. But the case usually, generally, you look for three type of evidence: testimonial, documentary, and physical evidence. Testimonial, basically the investigator's interview and witness story statement. And documentary, they already have the videotape. And of course, they're probably more likely going to look at the cell phone records, right, computer, email. So physical evidence, generally, in three parts. One is a medical evidence. That's the chief medical examiner, Jim Gill, probably have to determine whether or not Jennifer just become a victim of homicide.
I'm sorry, but in the warrant they said, based on the evidence, she's probably not alive or without medical attention, not alive. Mm-hmm. Do you agree mm-hmm. with that, with what you saw, and how do you come to that determination?
Okay, this case I wasn't directly involved. I already retired, as you know, but in the past, we have a lot of cases did not find her body. For example, one case not too far from Milford, it's in Trumbull. A young lady disappeared. Subsequently, in the suspect's home, we found a large amount of blood underneath the carpet. So, although they shampooed the carpet, however, decedent's blood was sipped through the carpet. Based on the amount of blood, we can calculate the individual, if lost two-thirds of a body weight of the blood,
wow,
more likely the individual is dead.
Well,
as a matter of fact, yeah.
I'm sorry. If we're going to talk to Dr. Henry Lee about past cases in Connecticut where there was not a body found, we have to go back to the very first conviction ever made in Connecticut for a murder where the body was not found, and that was Hella Craft.
Woodchipper.
Woodchipper, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's a case still become a teaching case example for a lot of law enforcement. Before that, you have to find the body, prove the culprit's death. That case is the first one.
You found blood in the bedroom, right? On the mattress?
We found a small amount of, yeah, with small amount of blood, which that amount cannot determine somebody passed away or not. However, on the river, Lake Zor area, we found 56 bone chips, 2,660 hair in 18 bundles. We found a tooth. We found portion of the
fingernail.
We found fingernail.
Red paint.
Also, yeah, right, right. Wow, you remember everything.
That case was fascinating. Horrific, but fascinating.
Right.
But the some of the bone chips were skull fractures.
Yeah, the inner skull
right?
bone. Yeah, so. That's called cavern bone. There's no surgical reason or means can remove that piece of bone. So the chief medical examiner, Dr. Carver, by the way, he passed away last week, and he made a determination the individual, Ms. Hallicraft, more likely was murdered.
Somebody was, one of the experts was on site in the water almost all day looking for any kind of evidence.
Yes. Right.
And he's walking to the shore, slips and falls,
right,
comes up with a bucket full of water, dumps the water in the screen, and in there was her tooth.
Oh, my God.
Right? And we, it's a team. We actually mobilized hundreds of detectives, state troopers, DA's office investigator, of course, forensic laboratory. We work from early morning to the dawn in the middle of the snowstorm, melting the target area inch by inch. It's a good teamwork. It's an example. They use as an example of how to work together. Also victims, friends and relatives and public, very supportive, provide a lot of information.
And, yeah, well, you're being very modest. You did have a great team, but it was luckily for us, Henry Lee was on the job.
Yep.
This case.
Thank you so much.
This case with the missing mom, do you think there's enough evidence there to prove that she's been murdered or dead?
That's a good question. Excellent question. Of course, today, you cannot use today's technology or standard to measure 30 years ago's case. Today, the court need more evidence to prove beyond reasonable doubt. Of course, we only look at the search warrant. We really don't know how much blood was in fact found. As a matter of fact, one of the first paper, 1980s, I wrote to how to estimate the volume of the blood. In other words, how much blood or regional was there. That's become very important is if we can establish beyond reasonable doubt that much of blood, we use her body weight to calculate. Let's say a normal female have 4,000 to 4,500 cc of blood. If the estimated blood they found at the scene is 3,500 cc to 4,000, of course, nobody can stay alive if you lost them, that much of blood. So if you can go over the huddle, I'm sure the defense attorney is going to demand a court hearing whether or not that's scientific enough,
right,
whether or not it's reliable, what's the error rate. So now the next thing is to prove the person lost that much blood is in fact Jennifer, and her death is a murder. Now you have to look at besides the DNA evidence, any trace evidence, hair, bone chips, tissues,
and what the bladder, what the blood spatter patterns are in the garage, right?
Excellent. Gee, you guys are expert in that.
I watch Forensic Files.
This is Dr. Chaz over here.
We got to wrap it up, Doc, but it's okay, always an honor to talk to you.
Yeah.
Is there a television program that you watch and think is pretty good at showing what you folks do?
Well, my TV show before, you know, I'm biased. Trace Evidence, Dr. Henry Lee File. We did the 48 episode before.
I'm going to look that up.
I don't want to do it anymore. It's just time-consuming. Also, I'm getting old. I already...
All right.
Retire five times. Thank you so much.
Retire more times than Ozzy.
I'm going to look that up, Dr. Henry Lee. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, doctor.
Take care. Okay.
All right. This is the guy who wrote the book in this stuff.
He's awesome, man.
When he walks in, it's like George Washington.
Exactly.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. This guy's from Trumbull, Connecticut, has changed millions of lives. Tony Horton, personal trainer and inventor of P90X. Good morning.
It is I. It is the one and the only.
You probably can't go anywhere without being recognized.
It depends on the day. You know, I was off to Dallas. I've got a new supplement line, which is really cool. So I went to see the facility in Dallas and watched them pump out about 40,000 containers of Tony Horton's brand new Power Life. There you go. My first plug, gentlemen.
Nice job.
And use the radio voice, too.
Yeah, you see what I did?
Yeah, very good. That's a voice. Yes.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Yep.
Yeah, on the way to Dallas, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm standing there in line to get my ticket. And there's this kid who looks at me. You know, he just stands there and stares at me. And I'm standing next to him because we're both about to buy our tickets. And he says, you are Tony Horton. And I said, I am Tony Horton. And he said, my name is Jean-Pierre. I am from France, and I live in Shanghai.
He's confused, obviously.
I'm like, dang, you know, here's a French kid named Jean-Pierre, who's from France, who lives in Shanghai, and he knows who the hell I am.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought to myself, like, where did he find P90X? In France? In China? Who knows, you know? So, yeah. And or not, you know, 5 minutes later, some kid named Jason from Chicago is completely jacked. I mean, this kid is all tatted up, ripped. And he said, and he looks at me and he says, "You're the reason why I lost 100 pounds. And yeah. Now I'm an Ironman and CrossFit athlete." Now think about that. Those are completely two different types of training.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he lost 100 pounds and now he's that fit that he can do both. So, you know, it's just cool.
Did you ever work out with Arnold or Lou Ferrigno or, you know, any of those guys from back in the day?
Yeah, I worked out. This other guy named Tony was a friend of Lou Ferrigno. Wow. So I worked out with Lou, you know, a handful of times.
Look at you. Is that you?
That's Arnold.
Yeah. I'm just saying that he used to taunt Lou Ferrigno all the time. "Hey, Lou. Hey, Lou. Look. He's throwing me arms. Use your arms. It's on you."
Yeah. I mean, Arnold had an entourage every time we would come into the gym. You know, he'd come in his flip-flops and a pair of surf trunks and a tank top, and he would just boss everybody around, and they would just do exactly what he said. You know, he was he ran the joint, that's for sure.
It had to be weird for you to watch this guy go from a gym rat that gym you were working out at, to this big Hollywood action star, to the governor of California.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was normal after a while, though. You know, you began to think, oh, you know, there's Lou like everybody else, or there's Arnold. But yeah, I mean, when I was going to World Gym at that time, Arnold was the biggest movie star in the world. And it was exciting to go to that gym. You know, I think I worked out more because I just was, you know, hoping I'd run into the guy, you know, so.
Yeah.
You have any advice for folks trying to get into shape?
Well, you know, motivation is an interesting thing. And how do you get there? So you need a combination of different things to try to stay motivated. Number one is that you have to have a purpose that is so powerful that it won't stop you. And I think most people's purpose is so off that it's the reason why they're so inconsistent. I mean, I work out 90% for me is, you know, improving the quality of my life. You know, John Rady wrote this great book called Spark, and it talks about the effects of physical activity on the brain. And when you read that book and you understand the science behind one workout improves memory and cognition and productivity and quality of sleep. And, you know, it's a miracle grow for the brain. You're releasing norepinephrine, dopamine, serotonin, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. I mean, it's such a powerful chemical experience that's happening inside your friggin' noggin that when you exercise, you feel better afterward and you become a completely different human being. And that happens in one workout. And I discovered that, you know, a long time ago because I was a C-minus student with a speech impediment going nowhere. I came out to California and I joined four different gyms at some point, and all of a sudden I became a different guy.
You're like our generation's Jack LaLanne.
Right.
Remember Jack LaLanne?
Only cooler.
He was on TV.
Yeah. Yep.
He had a workout program. Yeah. They didn't sell VCR tapes then. He was on TV.
Tights things he wore. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was jacked until.
He was.
I think he's still jacked. Is he still?
No, he's dead. No, he died. Yeah.
No, he's not jacked.
But he passed away at 96.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know his wife. You know, there's a pretty big organization, a fitness organization called IDEA, and they give out the annual Jack LaLanne Award. And Elaine LaLanne, which is an awesome name.
Yeah, really.
Jack's former wife gives out the award. And so when I was up on stage receiving it,
awesome.
4 years ago, she said to me, and I don't know how many thousands of people in the audience, she said that Jack said that I best represented him and what he does and how he does it than anybody prior. So,
wow. Now, if you're going to emulate him, you have to pull a bunch of rowboats every year.
That's right.
Remember, he used to swim every year with the amount of rowboats it was, how old he was?
Yeah, and by the way, there's one part of me that's nothing like Jack and his stuff like that. If you Google Jack LaLanne and you look at some of his feats, you think to yourself, that's not even humanly possible.
Right.
He did them. They've documented them. When he was 70, he took 70 people in 70 rowboats, tied them together, shackled himself, and then pulled them all from, you know, through San Francisco Bay. Just nuts.
That is sick.
Exactly.
That's sick. Is there anyone in Trumbull or Connecticut you want to say hi to?
The entire town. You know, I mean, I got a lot of friends that I went to high school with, a class of 1976 that are still there, you know. Tom Signore, Tom and Mary Signore, Ann Kearns Furs. I think she's Annie Blaine now. I went back to my 40th reunion. Oh my God.
Oh, you win that one, right?
Mine's coming up.
For sure.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, well, you sold 6 million P90X.
I'm going to pat myself on the back while I tell you how awesome I am. But this is the most bizarre thing that happened at my 40th reunion. Somebody comes up here. Somebody, one of my classmates, you know, somebody I didn't know very well. Of course, the room was dark. I will say this.
Okay.
Came up to me and said, "Are you here with your parents?"
No way.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What's your hall pass?
I said, I wanted to grab my phone and say, "Can you say that again?"
I love you.
I pop an occasional Botox. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay, so there you go.
There you go. That's it. You're on.
There you go.
Got to be honest, okay? Hey, Tony,
still in
thanks.
The forehead, okay? Okay with that?
In the forehead.
Oh, my God, Tony Orton.
Okay.
It's okay.
You know, I'm on camera, 16 times a month. So, but most of it is just plain old taking care of myself, and that's probably why I look a few years younger than I am.
Tony Horan, thanks for coming on. Honor to talk to you. Thanks for changing my life. And we're linked up to TonyHortonLife.com. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome, you guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.